From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Just read a letter today that says, "Dear Hank, thank you for your service and that of the Christian Research Institute in keeping believers informed and educated about Christianity today and the precious Word of God." And then this writer goes on to say that for many years she sat under the ministries of Word of Faith teachers such as Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, and the like, and goes on to say that with no place to turn for guidance, she finally came across the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and it was a challenge and a shock to hear as I dismantled many of the megachurch pastors. Of course, the most dominant of whom today is Joel Osteen. I call it the Osteenification of American Christianity because he is the high priest, as it were, the de facto high priest of a new generation of prosperity peddlers that have taken the Word of God and simply turned it on its head. At any rate, this writer goes on to say that as she began to listen, she learned and developed discernment skills, and then thanked me for the diligent service to the kingdom that we're doing at the Christian Research Institute. And I read that letter just as an encouragement to you who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, as well as a way of inviting people who do not now support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute to consider doing that. The gospel is free, as I've said many times, but someone has to put in the plumbing. So we're asking people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. And when you do, I want to send you a resource called The Fifth Gospel by Bobby Conway as my way of saying thank you. If you want one of my other books, I'd be happy to send you one of those as well, including The Osteenification of American Christianity, which is a relatively new book that I wrote this year. And it is now available on download. If you go to the web at equip.org, you can get CD of The Osteenification of American Christianity. You can get it in six-packs, so you can give it away. Just let us know what you would like. Be happy to send it to you as a way of saying thank you again for your support for the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Kevin listening in Modesto, California on Bot Radio. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. I have a couple things on my mind here. I got a female pastor. She seems to be spot on most things, but her mother church is Rod Parsley, the World Harvest, and a couple times a year they'll have a presentation from him, and there's just something about him that just doesn't seem right, and I want to know if you know anything about Rod Parsley, if you heard of him.
Yeah, you know, he's a classic Word of Faith preacher who is guilty of text abuse. In other words, he uses the biblical text to communicate whatever he wants to communicate. For example, he is committed to the notion that God cannot do anything in the earth realm apart from the word of people. And so he says, why does God say, ask of me? Why does he say that? Because he can't do it on his own. He can't get what he wants on his own because he has placed you in authority of this earth. Did you hear me? He has placed you in authority on this earth. Well, ironically, when he says that, he's dead wrong, because the very passage that he abuses in his attempt to prove that God can't get what he wants apart from the authority of human people, makes precisely the opposite point. God laughs at the vain notion that mere men can supplant his wisdom and authority upon the earth. So he'll take a text and he'll twist that text and use it to communicate whatever he wants to communicate. Here's another example of how he is trying to convince his followers that they are on their way to owning houses that they didn't build, full of good things that they didn't buy.
Say, I'm on my way to houses I didn't build. Some of you better get ready to drive around in neighborhoods where you never thought you'd be able to afford to live. Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it. And when they say, what are you doing? Just say, well, I'm just feeling out what my father's going to give me. Well, how's he going to give it to you? Because I'm going to be obedient. I heard a word from the man of God, and when I obey that word, it unleashes that anointing into my life, and I'm on my way to houses I didn't build, full of good things I didn't have to buy.
And while he calls himself a man of God, I would dispute that. I think that he is a man peddling material. As I write in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, in which I mention Rod Parsley, if asked to give a reason for the hope of the luxury that lies within him, he simply instructs followers to say, well, I'm just feeling out what my father is going to give me. I heard a word from the man of God, and when I obeyed that word, it unleashed an anointing into my life, and therefore I'm on my way to houses I didn't build, full of good things I didn't have to buy. There are other occasions where he says these kinds of things. On one occasion, he cried out, I don't know how big a miracle you need, but let your seed represent your need. Some of you need to do that $4,000 right now. Some of you need to do $5,000 or $10,000. Some of you need to do $100,000 tonight. Well, from his perspective, the size of your miracle corresponds directly to the size of the donation that you make to the Parsley ministry, because he says there's a miracle attached to your seed. And then with respect to healing, he does some unconscionable things. I mean, he says, for example, there's not one place in the Bible where Jesus ever denied healing to someone who came to him in faith. You won't find a single place in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John where Jesus refused to perform a miracle. The idea that God won't heal today is just a man-made doctrine thought up by religious people who didn't have any faith. As a husband and a father myself, it is hard for me to imagine a crueler contention than that family members suffer as a result of faithlessness, because according to Parsley's theology, his own son Austin, who is plagued by a disease, what he would call the demon of Asperger's syndrome, has been denied healing as a result of lack of faith. This is a very cruel thing. That's why I say, you know, there's a dark underside to these word of faith preachers. Joel Osteen will mock a paralytic, as I pointed out in the Osteenification of American Christianity, outright mock that paralytic. Why? Because that paralytic is suffering only because of their lack of faith. And if the paralytic would have enough faith, they'd just get up and go about their business and be healed. It's a very cruel theology with a very dark underside. It's why I wrote Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, as well as my book, The Osteenification of American Christianity. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John in Sorrento, Illinois, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, John.
Yeah, I heard somebody teaching on, like, the different levels of heaven, like gift levels and such, and I was wanting to some clarification on that and some passages to look up on.
Well, look, I don't know that I would say different levels of heaven, but what I would say is there are different degrees of reward in heaven, and rewards involve both enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. And you see this throughout the scriptures. I mean, you start with Christ's message where he turns to his followers and he says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but rather store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And of course, Jesus made essentially the same point in his parables. And in the parables, you find that there is reward for those things that you do while on this earth. And so again, while we're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, what we do now counts for all eternity. There's a beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where Paul points out that no one can lay another foundation other than Jesus Christ. But again, on that foundation, you either build using inferior materials or you use gold, silver, and precious stones. The day of the Lord will determine what kind of materials you used. If you use inferior materials like wood, hay, and stubble, then the day of the Lord will burn those materials up, and you'll be, in the illustration that Paul uses, like a man escaping a burning building with little more than charred clothes upon your back. So, yeah, behold, my reward is with me. I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. Again, not a way of saying that we're saved by what we do, but we're saved unto good works.
All right. And where was that passage at, the give everybody according to their works? Or
yeah, Revelation chapter 22, behold, I come quickly. And I have a reward, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. And if you cross-reference that throughout the Bible, you'll find this replete throughout Scripture. In addition to that, I've actually written a chapter in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. In the book, there's a chapter on rewards in which I underscore the rewards for faithful service and the crowns that are depicted as these rewards in Scripture and what they mean.
All right. Okay, well, I wanted to thank you for everything that you guys do. And when I've got the extra money, I donate one, and then I order some books and watch them as a family, as a study, family study deal.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate your support. We got some bad connections here. That's part of doing live radio, so I hope everybody enjoyed the sound effects. But, yeah, I mean, look, Paul specifically warns those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but rather to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Then he goes on to exhort believers, do good, be rich in good deeds, be generous, be willing to share, and in doing that, says Paul, true believers will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Therefore, Paul urges us to live as responsible servants, because on Judgment Day, it is God Himself who will richly reward us. And if you think about this in biblical vernacular or biblical context, you immediately think of Abraham. Abraham was a rich man in his epoch of time. There's no other way to put it. And yet, he was willing to live like a stranger in a foreign country because he wasn't looking to his riches. He was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect, whose builder is God. And like the other great saints in the Faith Hall of Fame, he realized that he was an alien, that he was a stranger on this earth. And therefore, he was longing for a better country. He was longing for a heavenly home. And he had his eyes firmly fixed, not on mean earthly vanities, but that eternal treasure. Why do people punish their bodies to run in a grueling marathon race? Well, most runners name two reasons: the sense of personal reward and the physical benefits of exercise. And the same two rewards apply in the spiritual realm. Great prizes await those who persevere, and the very process of living by faith builds strong character. And so if you look at the Faith Hall of Fame, it's replete with men and women willing to give their lives in loving service of the Master: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets who through faith they conquered kingdoms while they're being tortured and jeered and flogged, while they're being chained and while they're being put in prison, while they're being stoned and while they're being put to death, while they were destitute, persecuted, mistreated, yet commended for their faith because their faith was not fixed on circumstances. Rather, they were looking for a heavenly reward. Labor not for that which perishes, said Jesus, but for that which is eternal. Written about that in various places in my book, Resurrection. Also written about that in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, Near-Death Experiences. Again, a way to equip you to know what it is that we long for. A lot of people are longing for heaven and have very little knowledge of what it entails. Seems ironic to me. We ought to know what our sure reward is in eternity. Again, those books available, you can find them on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
You know the line, I'll believe it when I see it? Well, have you ever thought about the gospel in that light? That people might not believe it when they hear it, but would they believe it if they saw it? Paul exhorted Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The simple reality is that a spiritual, hungry, but skeptical world is watching, and the gospel our lives are preaching will always be more persuasive than words alone. That's why Hank Hanegraaff recommends reading Bobby Conway's book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for standing with us, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after the break.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
D.L. Moody once noted, where one man reads the Bible, 100 read you and me. That's a sobering thought, but one that could also encourage us. Because while most non-Christians today will never read the four Gospels, they will read a fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. By living out the Gospel, we gain credibility. By verbalizing the Gospel, we provide clarity. And that's exactly why we recommend you to read Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. It will help you wrestle with the critical issues involved in living out your faith in front of a watching world. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. There are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian, but most people never read the first four. So said Rodney Smith, a 19th century British evangelist who led passionate evangelical campaigns to countries like Australia, South Africa, and the United States. It's interesting to note that more than a century later, some things haven't changed. A great many people still don't read the four Gospels, but they may be reading you as a fifth. That's right, you. You may be the only gospel some may ever read. Are we comfortable with what people will understand of the gospel if we're the only gospel they read? To benefit from insights into this critical question, don't miss Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Lenore in Los Angeles, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lenore.
Hello. I'm very confused. I went online. I heard you talking. I went online, and I saw your number, and I prayed to Jesus to be able to get through so you can help me. I was talking to a preacher, and he said Christians are no longer sinners, but it has me confused because do we not sin? So are we not still sinners?
Yeah, of course we sin. We are covered by a foreign righteousness according to the Scripture. A righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So our position in Christ is one of righteousness in the sense that we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I often like to quote Luther, who said, we're like snow-covered dung. We're still sinners, but we're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. A graphic depiction, I think, that communicates. Now, those who have been justified by Jesus Christ are also being sanctified by Jesus Christ, which is to say that we're being daily conformed to his image. As participants in the kingdom, we're seeking to become more and more like Christ, and the one in whom we have placed our faith, the one who lives within us, the exchanged life that we're experiencing, is changing our life and living his life through us. So we are being conformed to the image of Christ, but we continue to sin. The great apostle Paul struggled with that very thing. He said, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, I do. Who can save me from this body of sin? So, yes, we continue to struggle with sin as long as we live in the flesh. And one day we are going to be practically what we are only now in position, but that comes in the new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So as long as we are mortal, as opposed to being immortal, which is coming up when Jesus appears a second time, as long as we're in flesh, we are yet sinners. We are saints in the sense that we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you. It was a blessing to get through to you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your call so much as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Johnny next in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I want to thank you for your program. Me and my mom, we listen to you all the time. But the question that I have, we had a big debate in Sunday school regarding suicide. And if a person commits suicide, does that person automatically goes to hell? Or does it matter if the person is a Christian and they commit suicide, are they automatically saved?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You have to remember that salvation is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. And when you become a believer, a participant in the kingdom, a follower of Jesus Christ, you follow his principles and his precepts. And one of those major precepts is recognizing that you have been imbued with the Imago Dei, the image of God. And therefore, it is a horrendous evil to consider taking your own life, which is tantamount to murder, the murder of oneself. Thus, as a Christian, we should never contemplate suicide because we don't want to displease the Lord in a grotesque way. We want to please him in every way. Now, having said that, it is certainly conceivable that a Christian in a moment of despondency does something that is inconceivable. They are not, quote unquote, in their right mind at the time, and they do something like taking their own life. And though it is a grievous sin, we cannot say it's an unpardonable sin. It's not something that a Christian should ever contemplate in their right mind, but should that take place, we cannot say that it is the unforgivable sin, because the unforgivable sin is a willful, continuous, ongoing rejection of the love and grace of God. So on the one hand, okay, we wouldn't say it's the unforgivable sin. On the other hand, we would say we should never consider such a thing as taking one's own life.
Okay. Okay. So if a person commits suicide, that person is forgiven.
If that person is a believer, all sins are forgiven. Now, there are always consequences to sin. If you commit suicide, you abort your life early. And as a result of that, there are rewards in heaven that you cannot lay at the feet of Jesus Christ. And we're okay, called to use every moment that we have for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. So we should never terminate our life early. Every moment we have is precious. I've told this story before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. When my dad was dying, he was dying of a fibrosing in the lungs, and it was an agonizing death because he could barely grasp air and assimilate it. And so for months and months, he agonized in a horrifying condition. And I asked him during that time whether sometimes in the struggle to grasp air, would he not want to go home to be with the Lord? And I remember him saying, no, every moment God gives me is precious. And so it was. When he finally died, he had an opportunity, even with his last breath, to bless all his children, to pray for them, and then to go home to be with the Lord. So every moment God gives us is valuable and precious for his kingdom's sake.
Okay, thank you much, Hank. You've been a great help, and God bless, and I hope you grow in your ministry.
Thank you so much, dear friend. Thank you for calling me today. And in a society of stressed out people, suicide is not even a singularly secular problem. I mean, we think about Robin Williams and his death, and sometimes we think, well, this is a secular problem. No, this is not relegated to any particular segment of society. According to the Centers for Disease Control, suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people ages 15 to 24. And as the incidence of suicide continues to skyrocket, this question about whether or not it is the unforgivable sin comes up, because I even have Christians that call me on the air and they ask me, you know, I want to commit suicide. I just can't live in this horrible situation that I'm in. And yet, so often we find that that very person that calls later on finds that God's grace is sufficient. I had a lady call me not long ago who was transgender. Wonderful conversation we had on the air. I asked her to hang on, and some of our staff contacted her and continues in communication with her, and now she's communicating the hope that can be hers, the grace that will meet our every need, a purpose for living. God meets us where we are, as we are, and he can use us for his glory and for his good. Sometimes it's difficult because you bear the insults of people, the insults of the world. And yet Christ, his love extends to the deepest regions of our sin. He meets us where we are. He accepts us where we are. And then because we want to follow him, he begins to change our life, to conform our life, I might say better, as Paul said in Romans chapter 12, to transform our life. What a beautiful thing he said. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed according to the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to taste and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. Recognize that God has given all of us different gifts. He's put us all in different circumstances. And what we're called to do, whatever our gifts, is to use those gifts for God's glory. So Paul says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is showing mercy, let him do so diligently, because love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Wow, what a prescription Paul gives us in Romans chapter 12 for living out the life of Christ, for using the gifts that we have been given. And then Paul goes on to talk about persecution. Even in persecution, we have hope. And he talks about how we should never be proud, but be willing to associate with people who have low position. He also says that we should never repay evil for evil, that we ought to be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, and as far as it depends on us, to live at peace with everyone. And even with your enemy, we should repay good for evil. And in doing that, says Paul, we heap burning coals upon their head. So don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. So we have a prescription for living out the Christian life as participants of the kingdom. And every moment within that life given to us is precious in the eyes of God. And so those even listening to my voice right now who might be contemplating a life that is meaningless, or thinking that you have no purpose, think again. In the morning, you will have a new perspective. The night will pass. The day will come. And that's why David said, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and I fly to the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. There is nowhere, no place, no state of mind that the Lord cannot meet you. In fact, he uses even those dark places in your life for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. My transgender friend, she will be able to reach people I will never be able to reach. Oh, what a purpose she has for living. And so once again, we take all of God's people. We love them as Christ would, where they are, how they are, and recognize that they can be tools of redemption in this very dark world in which we live. We look forward to the hope of resurrection. In the meantime, we're going to struggle. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. So please don't touch that dial.
Did you know they're watching? No, I'm not talking about the NSA or the FBI. I'm talking about your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. In fact, because some may never read the four Gospels, they may be reading you as a fifth. That's right, you, the only gospel some may ever read.
To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be right back in a moment. Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you're not like him." If that's true, it would be a sobering indictment. After all, aren't we called to bear his image? Perhaps that's one of the reasons for the growing skepticism and even hostility towards Christianity today. Fewer and fewer people are reading the four Gospels, but they haven't ceased to read the fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. Because our incarnation of the gospel is to be both visual and verbal, we commend you to Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Mahatma Gandhi was once asked how he felt about Christianity. His reply? He said he would seriously consider becoming a Christian if he ever met one. Interestingly, your non-Christian friends and associates might be saying exactly the same thing. They may never read the four Gospels, but they could be reading you as the fifth. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. That's the time of the year when schools across our nation are opening their doors. People are flooding through school doors. And therefore, I think it's so important for your loved ones to be prepared with trusted resources from the Christian Research Institute. And nowhere is that more important than with respect to the issue of origins. This is one of the most significant issues from the standpoint of apologetics. I call it not just an apologetic issue, I call it the apologetic issue. and therefore I'm offering my Creation Answer book along with a special Origins issue of the Christian Research Journal for your donation to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can look for this and other back-to-school resources at equip.org. Check it out on the web again, equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tara next in Hillsboro, Illinois. Hi, Tara.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I've got a couple questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
My first question, maybe a little bit of a silly question, but I guess I would like to know, how do we know, you know, as Christians, as believers, you know, how do we know what God's will is for our life? Like, you know, you're in radio broadcasting and that's your ministry. You know, that's your ministry. So like for someone like myself, you know, how would I know? I know I'm not supposed to be a pastor or a preacher or anything like that, but how would I know what God's will is for my life?
Well, you know, what's interesting about all of that is that we choose our path, but God directs our steps. So as a new believer, I did not know what my career path would be at all. I know one thing, that when I became a believer at age 29, I developed a voracious appetite for learning. And as a result of that, I started memorizing the Word of God and listening to messages that were deep and profound and trying to assimilate the principles and learning to share my faith. And as a result of that, people would ask me questions. I didn't know the answer, so I'd research. And I became a more usable tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And all of that kind of led towards what I'm doing. So I chose a path. And then God gave me certain gifts, and He directed my steps in such a way that I am now doing what I'm doing. So what I'm saying, I guess, is that I was led through people and circumstances to where I am right now. I can't take any credit for it. God, through people and circumstances, placed me where He wanted to use my gifts in the way that my gifts would be used to the max. Well, all of us have different gifts. You have gifts that I don't have. So God is going to lead you through people and circumstances in a different way. Now, there are always these kind of governors on what we do. So God will never lead us in a way that is inconsistent with His Word. So knowing the precepts and principles of the Word of God help us to understand the path in which God wants us to go. We also want to seek wise counsel. I had the opportunity to meet one of my son's mentors while he was at Baylor University, Dr. Wood. He's a man of great wisdom. And so that kind of wise counsel has been extraordinarily helpful to my son. My son had questions about what he was going to do with his life. And in fact, the wise counsel that he got was actually the opposite of what he thought he was going to get. And he was expressing that to me the other day. So you go to wise counsel, not only your parents, but other people that are mentors that God places in your path. So we have circumstances, we have people and the wise counsel of those people. We have the Word of God gives us the precepts and principles, everything necessary for faith and practice. And then we have, and this is certainly last but not least, because prayer is firing the winning shot. So I want to underscore that we pray. And as we pray, God leads us by His Spirit. So what happens is that we are led in organizations like the Christian Research Institute by a move of the Spirit. But that's true not just of institutions, it's true of individuals. We're moved by the Spirit of God. I mean, think about how Peter was moved by the Spirit of God. Or think about Paul. Here he was. He was in Asia, and he was struggling with what he was going to do. And then the Spirit of God moved. And in that case, Paul received a vision, a Macedonian call. And as a result of the Macedonian call, Paul boarded a ship the next day. This was a direct move of the Spirit. And he went to the Macedonian territory, met Lydia in Philippi, led her to faith in Christ. And that's how we find the first European convert. And so he was led by the Spirit. And we see this throughout the Bible. Philip, he is led to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch becomes a believer, and the gospel goes out to Africa. So
the move of the Spirit is something that comes when we commune with the Spirit in prayer. In many ways, it bypasses the intellect. It is an experience that we have with God. And that's what Christianity is, not just an intellectual acknowledgement of certain truths or logical truth propositions. It's an experience we have with the living God as He directs us through the very different and difficult passages of life. And in His direction, though sometimes it's difficult, we have peace in the midst of the life storms because we're doing what God calls us to do.
That was extremely helpful. I do appreciate that answer. And my next question, if you don't mind, real quick. I attend a Pentecostal church, and we essentially believe that you have to be able to speak in tongues, or the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in you is by speaking in tongues. That's the evidence. I guess my question is that correct?
Well, here's the qualification. When you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, then you are a believer. A believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God. When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. And that is a way of saying that you've come into special relationship with God. It is a relational more than a locational term. You have come into relationship with God. The Holy Spirit indwells you. But then the Bible also talks about the Holy Spirit in filling you, empowering you for service. Now, a lot of people think that the second blessing is manifest or evidence through the speaking of tongues. And I would say that may be a evidence. I wouldn't rule that out, but I don't think you can say it's the evidence of the infilling of the Spirit is that you're empowered for service. So what I'm doing on the radio, believe me, it's not by might nor by power. It's about His Spirit. So I'm being powered by the Spirit. So what do I pray when I come into the studio? Not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit, because I want to do what I do as a move of the Spirit. If I don't, it turns to gravel in your teeth. If you do, then you find satisfaction in what you're doing in service to the Lord.
Okay. I do appreciate your time, Hank. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Back to the phone lines. Matt, Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
I have had a question regarding the book of Job. Recently, a church leader had brought up that it was more of a moral book and that the events really didn't take place. But I wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, I think it was an actual event as well. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to think that it's just a good story made up with a good moral. Job is among the earliest books of the Bible, maybe the earliest book of the Bible. It takes place during the period of the patriarchs. And we're told that Job comes from an actual place, the land of Uz, that it's east of Canaan. So we're given a description of where he is from. We're given a description of his wife. We're given a description of his friends. So it seems with the specificity that this is a historical narrative, something that actually happened, and I don't see any reason to take this as something that is simply made up to make a point.
Okay.
And in saying that it's a historical narrative, I'm also recognizing that it employs Hebrew poetry. It, in fact, employs all of the elements of modern poetry with the exception of rhyme and definite meter. It abounds with parallelism. It employs poignant imagery, similes, metaphors. It's expressed in various forms, including hymn, song, proverb. And so it's part of what we call wisdom literature because it's very practical and it deals with the ethical and philosophical issues that all of us face. So Job's experience becomes the experience of humanity. So while it's a historical narrative, historical narratives, even Genesis is replete with Hebrew poetry and symmetries and parallelisms and the like.
And one of the other things that was brought up was that they, you know, and this also troubled me, was the fact that they said that it was, the story was out of God's nature to allow those types of things to happen to Job. And I'm like, you know, I mean, those, not that everything happens the way that, you know, happened to Job, but a lot of those things happen still today. You know, people get cancer, or, you know, people's children get very sick. And so that doesn't make God a bad God, but it gives us opportunities to, you know, abound in, you know, live in his grace and grow further. And so, I don't know, it was just very troubling. I was just wondering if you've heard many other people or many other leaders bring up this type of discussion like that as well.
Well, I love what you just said. I mean, whatever discussion they have, I love what you said. I mean, it's absolutely true. In this world, we'll have trouble, but take heart. We've had the power to overcome that trouble through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life, but it gives us a way to overcome them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I remember Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was a great preacher on the one hand, just as Job was a great man, but yet he suffered with gout. He suffered the jealousy of preachers at the time in London and even beyond. And in the midst of that suffering, he once said, "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there, and my sermons with me, the result of melting is that you arrive at a true valuation of things and you're poured out in new and better fashion." So God uses even the maladies of life to mold us for his purposes so that we can be used in new and better fashion. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. But he doesn't spare you from tribulation. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world.
Yep. Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Hank, and I really just appreciated you taking the time to kind of answer my questions and just kind of reaffirm what I believed, you know, to be correct. So, thank you very much, and God bless you.
God bless you as well. I deeply appreciate your call and the calls of all those that not only call during the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but support this ministry prayerfully and financially. We are at a time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for your prayers again. Thanks for your financial support. You can contact us on the web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org, that's equip.org, or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. D.L. Moody once noted, "Where one man reads the Bible, 100 read you and me." That's a sobering thought, but one that could also encourage us. Because while most non-Christians today will never read the four Gospels, they will read a fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. By living out the Gospel, we gain credibility. By verbalizing the Gospel, we provide clarity. And that's exactly why we recommend you to read Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. It will help you wrestle with the critical issues involved in living out your faith in front of a watching world. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities, For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.